Welcome to a special edition of Brewers Review. We're recapping some of the Brewers' moves in the draft and talking about the Jeff Suppan release. So first up, let's get the Jeff Suppan out of the way, since it may be the last time we talk about him. Jack, do you have any thoughts for our newly released former Brewer?
I really liked what Doug Melvin said about it. He said something like, you can't always look at the money. If you do, it'll drive you crazy. And you have to think about baseball sometimes, and I really like that attitude. I think it's tough for Suppan, obviously, because he wanted to be successful, but I think this is a great baseball move. It sucks that we have to, like, swallow $10 million, but it shows that we're not afraid of being aggressive, and we believe in this team still, and we're not going to let dead weight sit on our roster.
Yeah. I think what Melvin said at the end, too, where he said that Suppan can still pitch someplace he believes. He can still find a spot in some starting rotation in the major leagues, which I think Doug Melvin is kind of being a little hopeful there, because that means that the other team will pay some of that $10 million we owe him, which it'll only be $400,000, but hey, that's better than nothing,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's some of that, but I thought the Brewers handled it well. Definitely very classy all around. It sucks. Doug Melvin tried to sort of explain some of it away by saying, too, that off-season there, that they signed Jeff Suppan, there really weren't very many of any good long-term contracts that were given out.
Yeah, he played, except the pitcher that we're up against right now, which is Ted Lilly.
That's true, you know. Yeah, but that was like one out of four or five starting pitchers. And I kind of think that... that's a little bit of a red herring for Doug Melvin. I mean, it's cool that he protects himself, but at the same time, you know, if there isn't a good starting pitcher out there, and I mean, Jeff Suppan was okay for those first couple of years, not great but okay.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, I think the Brewers really haven't been, maybe they haven't been creative enough in seeking trades or are shuffling their roster other ways. I think they've tried to fill in too many holes with free agency. They've seemed a little desperate for. Maybe that's just because they've been so thin that they can't thin at the upper levels of the major leagues in pitching, that they haven't been able to do that. But we've seen them overly aggressive in pursuing free agent starting pitchers and bullpen arms, and not overly aggressive for mediocre starting pitching, I should say. So, while Doug Melvin kind of gets, you know, okay, he signed someone that season, and there really weren't any good signings that season, I still think that he still deserves some blame for this. And, you know, you can always put that money aside and make a mid-season acquisition with a trade and pay off that salary of that guy, like they did with CC Sabathia. That costs money, too. And, I don't know. So, I think, yeah. Still deserves some blame for this, but it's a good move for the team. Obviously, they're going to be having more talent on the roster from now on out.
Yeah.
So, it should come as no surprise that the Brewers kind of took a lot of pitchers in the first few rounds of the draft. But I don't, you know, I think people make a little bit too much of a deal out of that, because I think the Brewers' strategy has always been take the best player available, and they, if anything, they've shown that they're unpredictable in their draft strategies. So coming into this draft, lots of people talked about how the Brewers' first round draft picks of pitchers have been kind of a bust lately, especially high school draft picks with Jeremy Jeffress, Mike Jones, Mark Rogers, none of those guys panning out yet. And I mean, to give everybody an idea, Giovanni Gallardo was a second round pick the year that they took Mark Rogers. So you see how those two paths really diverged, and Giovanni was able to make it to the major leagues and become a top-notch pitcher, and Mark Rogers is still in the minors with some injury problems. So, surprising all the critics, the Brewers took another high school pitcher instead of opting for a more polished college pitcher, perhaps, or for that sake, a position player. Jack, what do you think about the Brewers not giving up on their strategy?
I like it. They don't really back down. It's we needed young pitching talent, and we got it. And I don't think that they would have gone after this guy if all the scouting reports haven't or wouldn't have been so positive, which they were. So I don't know. There's a lot to be said in not really being too hard on yourself or being, you know, thinking about it too much and just getting the best arm available.
Yeah, I think so too. And this guy Dylan Covey, I think if you want to label him as, you know, another problematic high school pitcher and compare him to Mark Rogers and Jeffress, that's really not quite apt. He's, well, in the first place, he throws a lot softer than them. He throws regularly 93 to 94 miles an hour in his fastball and can maybe get up to 95, 96. So he's not as hard of a thrower as those guys. And he's also a bigger body. He's 6'2", around 200 pounds. And I think one thing that, for me, when I read the scouting report, sets him apart from someone like Mark Rogers is scouts talking about his delivery being much more consistent and not violent. Mark Rogers, the Brewers knew when they took him, they're taking a guy who can throw around 100 miles an hour but has really not so pretty mechanics. And there was from the get-go, there was concerns about possibly having an injury because of those violent mechanics. And so a guy like Dylan Covey has less, you know, velocity on his fastball, but also less worries about his delivery. So for that reason, it's a less sexy pick. There's less upside than some of those other high school pitchers that the Brewers took, but he's also a little bit safer, it seems like to me. And he also, I think the thing that, another thing that stands out to me and that probably impressed the Brewers was his ability to throw another second pitch really well. His curveball is his out pitch, and he's working on a changeup too. So they've got a really young pitcher with 2+ pitches and developing a third pitch. So that's a good combination to have in a high school pitcher. Lots of times high school pitchers don't have that much of a developed repertoire.
Yeah, it's hard to give a lot of credence to high school stats.
Mm-hmm.
But his line is pretty incredible. Like 7-1, 0.4 ERA, 138 strikeouts to 20 walks in 70 2/3 innings. They're high school stats, but it's still pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree with you, Guy. I mean, he's got all the makeup that you want. I don't think this is... I think the concerns about high school pitchers, you don't really... I guess the idea of taking a college pitcher instead of taking a high school pitcher is that college pitcher's been through more of the ups and downs, and you've also had time to see, like, how well his mechanics hold up.
Yeah.
And if they, like, a college pitcher has another 3 years throwing that way, and you can see, like, okay, does this guy have arm problems? And so there's some more certainty there. And also, theoretically, that he'd be, able to make it to the majors faster. But like I said, given that and given the fact that Dylan Covey, like, reports are that his mechanics are good, then I think, it's a pretty solid pick. For a 14th overall pick, you can't really bank on the, a team getting a home run or whatever, but I'm impressed. I think it's and I'm excited to watch him. And it sounds like from the interviews he's given that he's eager to sign, so that would be good.
Yeah. He's also really well spoken.
Yeah, he seems kind of I agree. Made some jokes apparently in interviews, which is good.
He's probably not going to be caught smoking weed 3 times like some pitching prospects.
Yeah, that's another actually a really important thing to bring up about high school pitchers is that they're 18,
Yeah.
And the Brewers made comments about him being coming from good background. Not that Jeffress didn't come from a good background, I really don't know. But thinking that he's a good, well-rounded, balanced individual. So that's an important when you're 18 and you're on a bus with some, other minor leaguers. And, it's a huge culture shock. So they want to be able to make sure that they pick some guy who they think who can handle that kind of, professional baseball at a young age.
Yeah.
And they say that that's what he is. So we'll have to see how that pans out. for Mr. Covey, but I'm excited. I think some of the comparisons that were drawn to him were actually Jake Odorizzi. I'm not sure how to say that name, but the Brewers' second-round pick last year, who's done really well, who's another very polished high school draft pick with a larger repertoire of pitches than most high school pitchers. So hopefully Covey can repeat the same kind of success that Odorizzi's had. The Brewers went on to take two college pitchers after that, but didn't really want to talk about them personally, mostly because talking about pitchers is kind of, in some ways, a waste of time. Not that, you know, these last few minutes we spent talking about Covey have been, you know, a waste of your time, but I just think it's hard to project. You kind of got to see how they shake out. And interestingly, I want to talk about Hunter Morris, the first baseman / outfielder that the Brewers took in the fourth round. Played his college ball at Auburn, and he's an interesting pick because in high school he was considered a top-of-the-line pick, top-of-the-line talent, and he was taken in the second round by the Red Sox, I think 84th pick overall. So he's got some history, being valued really highly. He ended up going to college, didn't sign with the Red Sox. I don't know if that raises a concern about signability, but he had a great 2008 with Auburn, where he hit .351 with a .433 on base percentage and a .597 OPS. Sorry, .597 slugging percentage. 2009, he struggled with some back injuries and a tendon injury in his wrist, which makes me nervous. Wrist injuries with hitters often are a problem. But he ended up hitting .282 with a .379 on base percentage and a .503 slugging percentage. And this last year, he's absolutely crushed it. He won Player of the Year honors in the SEC. And I'm trying to find the stats. I think he slugged something like 700. So he bounced back really well from the injury last year and was crushing it. Hit 20 home runs this last year. So he's a guy, play first base, possibly outfield, left-handed hitter. Seems like in the model of the Brewers pick, just pick a great bat and see what they can do with him. Do you have any thoughts about him, Jack? Is this a signal the Brewers are... Some people are painting this as signaling the Brewers are ready to move on for Prince Fielder. Do you think that's fair?
I think that's ridiculous. I mean, it takes a while to get up to the majors. I think they're just drawing conclusions. Oh, he's the first baseman, Prince Fielder's the first baseman, blah, blah, blah. I think if anyone's saying that, then they don't know how the system works. That's a stupid thing to say. I don't know enough about this guy to say much, but from what I hear, it's an exciting pick. But I don't know, clear Jets.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, you know, the Brewers have lost first basemen in their system. They also took a third baseman after him. That doesn't mean that a third baseman / first baseman and Cody Haan. That doesn't mean the Brewers are thinking about getting rid of Casey McGee or Matt Gamble or, you know, anything like that. So, yeah, it's ridiculously early to start drawing conclusions like that, and especially when the Brewers, I mean, with like a fourth-round pick, fifth-round pick or whatever, you don't know. You just got to load up on talent and hope for the best, so.
Yeah, the baseball draft is just very strange in general. And it's so deep that I feel like there isn't really a commentator or any personality that can say anything insightful. The only people who really know what's going on are the people who work for the teams or scouts. So, I mean, it's a shot in the dark.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's so... And even if you look up scouting reports on any of these guys, and half the time they say one thing and half the time they say, you know, they're like oh... You know, his strength is his mechanics. Then next scouting report will have serious concerns about the mechanics. You know, it depends from scout to scout, too, what they see in a player. And, you know, I think you just sort of have to shrug it off and see how they do in a little bit in the minors before you really start to talk about him.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it's kind of fun to think about and to see what some of these guys have done.
Yeah, definitely.
So the Brewers, I mean, I've got faith in their draft ability. They definitely...
They draft so well.
They do. They draft really well. Much better track record drafting players than signing free agents for the Brewers. So.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering if Randy Wolf is going to turn into a Jeff Suppan situation in his third year of his contract.
What do you think? Yes? No?
I don't know. I mean,
That's the kind of analysis we're just doing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Jeff Suppan actually probably had a better first season with the Brewers than Randy Wolf is having right now. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know. It scares me. But that's only 3 years, and it's a lot less money than $40 million. I think it's $29 million.
Yeah. So. That's true. It's not as much money. And Randy Wolf is also, I think Randy Wolf at his best has been better than Suppan at his best, too.
Absolutely.
And, I'm less concerned about it, though. Randy Wolf has had an injury history. And so I think if this deal sours, it's probably going to be more that Randy Wolf is having some sort of injury problems again. Though, I mean, they claim he's fixed his mechanics, and that's not happening anymore. But we'll see about that. All right, any more thoughts? David Riske is going to be called up to the Brewers. He's coming up back off the DL. He'll be taking Suppan's spot with the team. So we'll have to watch and see how he throws now that he's back in the majors. The last time he pitched was last April, so it's been a while for him. Last time he pitched in the majors. So got to keep your eye on, see how they use him.
Didn't they call Chris Smith as well?
They did. Chris Smith... you know, he's pitching lights out at AAA, like, you know, an ERA around 1.5. He was their closer for a bit. And last season he was with the Brewers and had an ERA around 4. So I don't know if he's figured it out or if AAA is that much easier than the majors, but we'll have to see if he's able to, you know, take some of that success from the minors and repeat it with the Brewers. All right, I guess that about wraps it up for us here at Brewers Review. Thanks for listening, and if you have any questions, feel free to email us at brewersreview@gmail.com. Any final thoughts, Jack?
Nope, just like everyone to know that Mark Rogers is actually pitching well so far this year. He came back from an injury, so you know a lot of people were disappointed when he didn't produce right away, but he's still really young. He's only 24. And he's pitching well on AA, so hopefully that will pan out for the Brewers.
Yeah, and most importantly, I think, is just the fact that he's pitching.
Yeah. You know,
I think he's 24, but in baseball years, he's like 19 in some ways. Yeah. He hasn't really had an opportunity to pitch, regularly to work on his skills and everything. So, yeah. I mean, I'd like to see him. He's walking too many guys right now. So hopefully if he can still throw hard, he can cut down on that and get some more strikeouts. That's what we'd like to see from him.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for listening, and have a good week. We'll try to get another podcast out this weekend. Take care, everybody.